So how did we like the episode?
Fort Max?
Am I giving radio again?
No, you're okay.
Yeah. It was...
Also, giving radio sounds like some weird sex act.
Your mom gives ham radio.
No, your mom takes ham radio.
Podcasts, The Final Frontier. These are the audio logs of the podcast Superhero Time. Their 5-month mission? Explore old episodes of Star Trek, alienate even more listeners, and boldly plow your mom where no one has come before.
With XV.
I'm the captain, let's go.
Hey, Mickey.
I might have incorrect facts, but I never have incorrect opinions.
Ken.
Ah!
And Fort Max.
What does God need with a spaceship?
This week on that one episode of Star Trek...
Perfect.
So Ken can't be with us this week because he has teething problems. But we have Scott back, and I think that's probably worth at least a Ken and a half.
Maybe half a Ken.
No, trust me.
You're probably taller.
Aw.
How much hair do you have?
Excuse me? Who wants to know?
Inquiring minds.
Well, you just have to go check out my Instagram pictures where I do all my selfies. You'll see it there.
Do you do duck face?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, that's just the way I look all the time. I can't help it. And I thank you for bringing it up on the podcast.
Sensitive.
Well, all that collagen will make you sensitive.
Look, when you come to California, that's what happens.
The thing is, though, I don't think you're supposed to put the collagen in your forehead.
Well, if you've seen my forehead, you would see why. It's like Hoover Dam. It's just this monolith.
Like, I guess eventually you could start the trend of forehead breasts, but I don't think it's really going anywhere right now.
No. But I do sell it as advertising space. So if you know anybody who's got any advertising they want to do.
So this week we watched the original series episode, Is There in Truth No Beauty? Which I think I actually said right.
That is the hardest title to say correctly.
Yeah.
Is there beauty truth in there with beautiness? Question mark?
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's important to pronounce the question mark, too.
But not to the very last syllable. Is there in truth no beauty?
Question mark.
So I picked this episode for one reason.
Oh, I know why, too. I didn't figure it out until about halfway through, you jerk.
It's got Pulaski in it.
Yes, it does. She was driving me crazy when I was watching this episode. I was like, she sounds familiar, she looks familiar, but she's attractive, and I'm having conflicting emotions about this, and I don't know why. And then about halfway through, it hit me.
And then
I cried
then
shame in the shower.
Then you really had conflicting emotions about it.
You wanted to bang Pulaski.
Well, you know,
he wasn't the only one, now was he?
50 years ago, but, you know, also wanted to bang your mom 50 years ago, before she got old.
Yeah, so I actually looked into this, and she was about 30 years old when this filmed, so...
Seriously?
Hey, Mickey's mom was 30 when this came out?
Probably. Well, Mickey, was your mom born in 38?
I don't know.
1838.
Oh! Now, I've met Mickey's dad, but I've never met his mom.
His parents are some of the coolest parents I think I've ever met in my life.
Seems that way.
That's why I'm so awesome.
But I was about to say, but they're such terrible parents. Look what happened. I mean, wonderful people, but miserable failures.
No, JD's dad.
Well, the whole JD and JD's dad thing was just really weird on any level, too. Okay, so, Scott, you don't probably know, but, like, our friend JD Church, who passed away last year, his dad was a minister, and JD was a devout atheist.
Mm-hmm.
With the last name of Church, mind you.
Sure.
So there's just all kinds of, like, humor involved inherent to the situation. Well,
God has a sense of humor.
That's true. But yeah, it's just weird things with parents, man. So anyway, Star Trek.
Yes. It's about people in space, really.
Yeah, as if they're on a voyage of some kind, a trek, if you will.
Through the stars.
Like a wagon train to the stars, as old Gene Roddenberry used to say.
I'm sure old Gene used to say a lot of things.
Yeah, this makes you think of Oregon Trail and the Enterprise slipping over while crossing through a nebula and everyone drowning.
Yeah, because if Data dies of dysentery, this is bullshit.
Nice.
Ever rage
okay, so... So the I guess we're getting to get going here. The Enterprise is circling around planet Medusa.
I can tell by the snake.
If you're watching the new version, it looks quite nice.
Mm-hmm.
If not, well, not so much.
If you're watching the newer version, it looks like, you know, a developed planet. If you're looking at the old version, it's kind of a smudge on the lens.
Right.
Someone sneezed at the camera and...
So, yeah, these new special effects are just gorgeous. They're just right. They're not too overdone. They're not too high-tech looking, but they look like the original updated. And then what blows my mind is they cut to an interior shot and purple! When did they paint the transporter room Prince Purple?
Must have been for season 3.
Yeah, whose decision was that?
Maybe they got a new director of photography between seasons.
So he painted the walls.
Gotta make your mark, you know.
And his mark was purple.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Federation is talking to the Medusans, because apparently they're the universe's most amazing pilots.
Interesting that.
Unfortunately, they're also so brutally ugly that they drive man mad just to look at them.
That's the part of the episode I always had. That's what I always had a problem with in this episode. Like, you're taking a concept and pushing it so far that it's literally impossible to imagine, like, that actually working.
But the cool thing is, what this episode gave me some mixed feelings, because on one hand it's so campy and some of the plot is so weak, but on the other hand, at about 3/4 way through, they drop some heavy sci-fi on you, which I thought was awesome. It's like, oh, there's the sci-fi of this show. And I'm just trying to take the Medusa as that kind of thing. It's like sci-fi is all about the thing that's barely at the edge of comprehension. I think they did a pretty good job with the Medusans, you know, making it conceptual.
Hmm.
I just like how the Starfleet named them Medusans. It's like, yep, they're ugly. You're like Medusa.
Right. Don't we get a vote? No.
Well, you know, it carries on that grand American tradition of giving all the cultures you run into new names. Instead of learning the names they have for themselves.
Ah, you're Indians.
Germans.
Yeah.
We shall call you the Medusans, but our natural name is the Hideosians.
And you know, you joke, but Hideosians actually be better as a name for them in the show, because, like, you get the idea, but with that pronunciation, it's not immediately obvious what they're going for.
Yeah, I mean, because they could just
be... The Fuglians.
Nice.
The Fuglites, yeah. The Yermamians.
They're not that big, Scott.
Oh, that's true. That's true. They
get the Dyson sphere for that.
Yeah, they can contain them in a single box. So, is there no truth in beauty? All right.
Okay. So, speaking of boxes, mm-hmm. And Medusa beams up along with Pulaski.
There we go.
So, to make it safe, Kirk greets the human emissary,
Larry
Captain
Marvick.
Terrible Shirt, whatever.
Larry Marvick.
Yeah, Larry, that's right.
Larry.
Yeah.
Yeah, Space Larry. Hello, my name is Larry.
Now, Larry is the guy that designed the Enterprise, correct?
One of the engineers, yeah, yeah.
Yes, the Enterprise was designed by a guy named Larry, who's wearing this shirt.
Well, probably not, you know, the Enterprise specifically, but the Constitution class as a whole.
There you go.
Yes.
Right. Plus, I mean now the real question is, does his shirt explain the color of the purple wall?
I don't think he was the interior decorator, now was he?
That's what I'm wondering. That's what's important to me in this episode.
Looking at his engineering designer uniform, I can totally see where Wesley's uniforms came from.
An angry wardrobe department?
Yes!
At least Larry had the late 60s as an excuse.
Yeah, I mean, there's really no excusing Geordi's purple velvet sweater.
Aside Except from him that, being blind.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that pretty much is a lock right there in him being blind.
I'd like to take this moment to point out to Mickey, will know what I'm talking about, Fashion It So, which is a blog on Tumblr, I think, where a couple people are going through all of Next Generation, documenting the fashion of the future.
Okay, from near as I can tell, the transporter room set was always purple.
I thought it was more red.
It may depend on the lighting.
Which makes me think director of photography changes.
That's another thing I noticed about this episode in particular. The cinematography seemed really good. I don't know if they're using new cameras or something. Everything is very clear and very present. Everything just seems much more real than some of the older episodes.
And there's a very different directing style for the episode, too, compared to like any other episode of the series.
Yeah, and hey, Mickey, were you saying that maybe it's the remastered version? Is that why?
Yeah, because they've tweaked all the colors and clarity and everything, so...
They refilmed the original film.
And yeah, because the remasters used a new... Well, the remasters is... Well, even both with and without the changes, did use the new HD transfer of the film.
Oh, that's awesome. Makes me happy. You can see every pore on...
I feel like how you can see the green tint to Spock's makeup.
Yeah, that's true. That's something you couldn't really pick up before.
Yeah, I can tell transporter room set only got modified in preparation for phase two.
Which of course never really happened. Yeah. Huh. Oh, well, yeah, I guess it was just purple this whole time, and my life is a lie. Moving on.
All right, so Kirk introduces Larry to Scotty and says, I bet you'll have a lot in common, like drinking too much. Go have fun. And they exit through the door into the hallway to, I assume, get blitzed in an alleyway. I assume the Enterprise has alleys, doesn't it? I mean,
I think the Enterprise is all alleys.
Well, in a Jeffrey's tube, probably.
Yeah.
I wonder if the Enterprise has a bowling alley.
That's the photon torpedo launcher.
Oh, okay. So if you do really well, you'll actually launch a bowling ball at another starship.
Well, I was just going to say, since that's where they keep the torpedoes, you got to be really careful.
No, you're just bowling down the launch track.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, if you don't, like, get a gutter ball, you actually, like, send the ball out of the ship. That's now, true. Admittedly,
it's an expensive sport.
Right, you lose a lot of bowling balls that way. The angle of bowling has kind of changed in the future. You actually want to get the gutter ball so you get the ball back. Like, your score is based on how many pins are left standing at the end. It's kind of turned into golf, in a way.
Except if you're in the mirror universe, where you do want to hit the pins.
Well, you know, I really thought 3D chess was stupid, but I think this wins.
See, in the mirror universe, though, in bowling, the pins are actually lined up along the gutter.
Okay, we need to stop with the whole Star Trek thing and just move on to alternative sports. I think we just need to start doing this. We'll be millionaires.
In the mirror universe, the pins are actually just prisoners.
And then everyone uses guns. So I think this is
and instead of, guns, you know,
an alleyway,
throw...
it's a forest where you hunt them.
No, they throw a photon torpedo down the lane to hit the pins, which are the prisoners. And it comes full circle.
Okay, let's come full circle back to the episode here. Okay, so Kirk has to leave the room too, because any human seeing the Medusan will go mad. Spock can stay behind.
They never say crazy or anything else. They never say insane. They always use the word mad. Isn't that weird?
I thought they did say insane.
I think they only use mad. I don't know. We'll see. You can call me wrong when it happens.
Yeah. Well, Spock can stay because he's a Vulcan, and he can use a special tech spec decoder lens to view the Medusan safely.
Mm-hmm.
His Geordi cosplay needs some work.
Was like Leela from Futurama's 3D glasses. I mean, it's just useless.
it's a tech spec decoder.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So he beams up Dr. Jones, Dr. Pulaski.
Dr. Jones!
No time for love. and the Medusan, who is at a convenient travel suitcase.
Mm-hmm.
What a dignified way to travel.
Yeah.
I hope at some point in the future, if I'm declared too ugly to exist, I get a nice box to travel around into.
But wait, what's this? Dr. Jones is a human, and she can use the visor and be in the same room as the Medusan, who's completely covered up. That shouldn't be.
Hmm.
And even stranger, she's a woman.
I know, everybody kind of loses their shit over that. Now, what I kind of liked about this is they're wearing the visors for transport, and it's kind of, like, they never really say outright, but you kind of put together, okay, so just in case some of the Medusan materializes before the box around it, let's be safe.
What if they forgot to put the Medusan in the box before we transported?
Now, they said the Medusans had evolved into, like, being an energy form only. Would they even be able to be transported?
Yeah, you just beam the energy molecules.
Oh.
Damn it, hey, Mickey.
Look, I mean, we already store energy molecules in cans here. There's Monster and Red Bull.
Okay, so when they say they evolved into an energy being, they mean they evolved into an energy drink.
Yeah, taurine. Right. Basically, they just evolved into taurine and caffeine.
They're sentient surge. And that's why people go mad. They want to go start jumping over couches.
Yeah, they're just extreme. They're not mad. They're extreme!
So they've evolved to such a point that the effect of the energy drink is transmitted from across a room.
Right, that's what Nikola Tesla was going for.
They've become an optical energy drink.
Why? Which is why you need the decoder so you can see them.
Right. This all makes perfect sense now.
Right. Nothing made sense in my life until I started hanging out with you guys.
Well, that's what we're here for.
So, okay, apparently the deal is Dr. Jones is psychic.
Dr. Jones!
And that's why she can hang out with Medusans, because she's telepathic. Okay.
Which is cool, you know.
Doesn't make a lot of sense, but it's 60 sci-fi, so I'll let it slide.
Maybe sure, she'd have Betazoid.
Yeah, it'll be retcon.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
So Captain Kirk clears the hallways to make room for transporting the Medusan.
Because even though there's just one route from the transporter room to the ambassador's quarters, we better get everybody off of the decks of all the floors and passageways. Clear the whole ship.
Right.
It'll be fine.
Everybody hide. There's a monster on board.
Yeah,
he'll destroy
basically.
You all. So Medusan arriving safely in his quarters with no incidents. Dr. Jones says, "You want to look at it, Spock?" "I know you do." So Spock opens the case and takes about 16 ounces of optical energy drink.
Just shotguns it just straight down. It's awesome.
The doctor senses that Spock is jealous of her. You want my job, you Vulcan bastard. Spock's like, well, yeah, it'd be cool, but I've got this whole thing going with Kirk here, and, you know, it'd just be, you know, wrong to leave him behind.
Yeah, plus who's going to make fun of, you know, the doctor, you know, if I'm not here?
Mm-hmm. Why, if Spock's not there, McCoy will just get to run wild.
Yeah. The thing is, why it's
well,
not like,
Spock's
does anyone
not
really
there,
believe...
McCoy will go crazy from having no one to tease.
No, that's he right. Can just start making fun of Scotty's alcoholism.
Yeah.
Do I need to regrow you another liver?
Hot on Kettle Black there, I would assume.
Yeah, potentially.
Yeah, and either that or, you know, Bones starts taking out on everyone else in the crew. You know, he just turns into an even worse curmudgeon because he can't focus his rage on somebody.
Well, okay, so Dr. Jones is like, I'm not buying this for a second. You want my job. I studied on Vulcan for 4 years just for this. Fuck you. Get out of my quarters. This is my Medusa. Get your own. So I was like, okay, cool, whatevs. Bye.
Yeah, he just totally nonchalantly walks out. Again, because Vulcans are known for their jealousy.
Well, Spock is half human, you know.
Yeah, but still.
Give us the lower half.
It's the half that counts.
It's the back half.
My human ass can't sit in this chair any longer.
I've had days like that.
Yeah, it's a pretty common saying where I'm from.
So as Spock nonchalantly leaves, she takes off her visor and stares deeply into the optical energy drink.
And well, it does look a bit surgy. It's all green.
And this is kind of where I have the problem with the ambassador and the whole Medusan concept, because, like, okay, you can tell us that they're so ugly that they'll drive people insane, but if you do that, don't ever show us what it looks like.
Aha! I'm glad you brought this up. Researching this episode, I was reading with the director, had to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he did not want that. They did that, they had all the special effects and cutaway shots. Against his wishes, and it pissed him off.
Okay, so the director actually had the right idea about this.
Yes, he'd never intended for you to see any kind of glimpse from the Medusa. He just said it was supposed to be a light, basically, and that was it.
Right.
That you just see shine on the character's face, but no shots of any crazy energy patterns or full screen energy shots or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I've seen videos with full screen energy shots before, and let me tell you. No, anyway. I think
he's still bitter about
it's
it.
It's even worse when people upload them to YouTube and they stretch it out.
Well, and then when they go back and do the half-assed Blu-rays and they upscale it.
I don't know. I think that the because I kind of showed the color patterns and stuff. I mean, you don't really say what a Medusan really looks like. It's kind of like when they showed the Tholians. You know, you just saw kind of this shape and this vagary. I think they kept it vague enough where it's still scary and your imagination fills in a lot of it.
Now, what I was seeing more is what this specifically reminded me of was like the battle sequence backgrounds from Earthbound.
Oh yes,
yeah,
that's what. Some of those effects were reminding me of, and same sort of thing, like how you never see Gygas in Earthbound. You just see the crazy effects.
Right, right. An impression of the character. Right, yeah, which I think is
if
fair.
If you really want to convey madness, Earthbound is a good start.
No kidding. I missed that game. Back in the day when games were good!
You know it still exists and you can play it, right?
Oh, yeah. If you want to buy me a cart, go right ahead.
Oh, no. You can just buy
a
Wii U.
Wii U.
Oh, that's right. I got to go buy a Wii U. All right, guys. I'll talk to you later. I got to go buy a Wii U.
Well, you ready? Get Splatoon and Mario Maker.
Roger that.
See, Mario Maker is what's going to sell Wii U units like nothing else. Because who doesn't want to do Mario
Maker? Because nothing else has sold a Wii U unit.
Yeah.
Well, Splatoon's doing pretty well.
Splatoon does look amazing. I do want to play that game.
But, like, Mario Maker is going to be the thing that appeals to everybody.
Yeah, because Splatoon was a top seller worldwide in the month it came out, where it wasn't even out for a week.
Wow. Well, it's definitely a game I would love to play and lose at, because I would probably lose at it.
Lousy mouse and keyboarder.
Hey, PC Master Race.
Yes, well. All right, where are we now? Okay.
So are we in the meeting yet? The big meeting with all the peoples?
You mean the fancy dress dinner?
Right.
Yeah.
This is simultaneously the best and worst part of this episode.
Oh my god, it's amazing.
All for the same reason.
I think so. I don't know if you guys are going to go where I'm going with this, but holy crap, the 60s were sexist as hell still.
Okay, so I'm going to give like a quick summary of this, and then Mickey can kind of go long form if he wants to. Basically, what the whole scene boils down to is, Dr. Jones, you're so beautiful, you shouldn't get to go and have your own will in your own life. You should stay here and stay with us forever and ever for our amusement and pleasure.
Yeah, pretty much.
That was the whole push of that scene. That because she's a beautiful woman, she should have no self-determination or agency of any kind.
Hey, Mickey, what do you think?
I'd say at least 3/4 of that comes from Captain Kirk himself, but that's kind of how he treats all women.
But also McCoy and Scotty.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really drive that point home. But I can, basically, whenever Kirk speaks, starts hitting on a woman, I just kind of ignore it, because that's what Kirk does, is he sticks his dick in things.
I know, it just seems slimy. So...
It's his rising.
Yeah, when Kirk was doing guys, it's like, okay, yeah, this is... It's Kirk. Then when the others is like... When the people who were not Kirk were doing it as well, it's like, okay.
It's funny, because Bones goes from, like, admiration to hitting on her, like, in the same sentence. It's the weirdest thing. He's like, you're so beautiful, why would you do this kind of thing? And I mean that with utmost respect as a fellow doctor. It's like, wait, what? How can you... Wait, what?
It's like, half of this stuff was... seems like... I mean, it's like it... Like, somewhere along the line, the script was mostly done that someone realized that, wait, Kirk isn't the only one here in this room.
Ah, it's funny you mentioned that, actually.
Oh, no.
But this is the other interesting part of this episode. This scene was heavily rewritten at the last second. And it all revolves around Spock's Idik.
Yeah, which was a cool thing they mentioned, and I'm glad they brought it up.
Except, the way it was originally written, Shatner and Nimoy found out that this whole scene revolving around the Idik, which was the main point of the scene... Right. Was because he was going to be selling this piece of jewelry in his store, his Lincoln collection.
Him who?
Roddenberry, sorry.
Oh, okay.
And Nimoy and Shatner were furious that they were doing an entire 5 or 10 minute section that was a commercial for a piece of jewelry.
Well, wait till the 80s comes around. They're going to blow their shit.
So basically, they fought with Roddenberry, and Roddenberry eventually backed down and rewrote the scene so that Idik's presence was minimized.
Uh-huh.
Like, they had this argument on set, not, like, before filming. Like, while the scene was being set up.
So, that shit just got rewritten with misogyny. Fast.
Right, so they traded in the blatant commercialism for blatant sexism.
It's possible they weren't happy with that either, but they didn't have any more time to refine it further. Because a lot of the dialogue, like what McCool was saying, is very awkward. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right. Ooh. So basically, it's like, in the process of doing this, they just reassigned some of Kirk's lines so they could stretch the scene out by changing camera angles. And focusing on the other characters. Something like that. Also, I want to point out in the scene, Scotty, of course, is being... Fort Max, you're kind of doing the radio thing again.
Let's see, what else did I do on vacation? I watched the end of True Detective.
Oh, my.
True Detective has a really interesting life. We should listen to him. If I hear like a dial tone or like an EKG going flat, I'm gonna freak out.
Fort Max, how you doing?
I don't know what's causing it.
You're so far away.
Don't head towards the light. Don't go towards the light, Fort Max. This house is clean.
Not this house.
Yes, yeah, senior dusty house.
And stained.
Ew. And sticky in places.
Just the kitchen. Maybe the bathroom a little bit.
Living room rug.
Carpet.
Ceiling on that really good day. Yeah. That's a really good day.
Laundry room. Fort Max, how you doing over there?
I wonder if Fort Max can hear us.
Type something, Fort Max.
Fort Max, can you find the oldies station?
Yeah, something like late 60s. It would match the episode.
Fort Max, we can barely hear you. Which I guess is better than not hearing you at all, but still. Fort Max, I think it's time for a new headset.
Maybe one that's not wireless.
I can hear you, just barely hear you.
Bye, Fort Max. We miss you.
Good. My plan is coming to fruition. You're all dropping like flies. Soon it'll just be me and Hey Mickey left.
Then it'll just be me.
Yes.
Fort Max?
Yes.
Hey!
Okay, we can hear you now.
Yeah. Yay. Shout louder.
Yell. Is this better?
Yes, that's good.
Okay.
What's all up, right. Fort Max?
So, what were you getting this time?
Something about
watching the end of True Detective.
Okay, True Detective. I don't know how I got Gossip Girl on True Detective.
I think he's going to talk about Matthew McConaughey taking off his shirt.
You know, I don't really swing that way, but when I saw it, I just couldn't help myself.
Yeah. Fort Max?
Yes?
Why does the radio keep coming through your audio?
I don't know.
What kind of headset are you using?
The same one that I've been using for quite a while that hadn't been doing that. I mean, it's just a microphone and a speaker.
Do you live in a radio station?
No, that was Brian Kilby. Yeah, that's kind of weird, Fort Max. That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Which is strange for you, because you're so normal.
Well, all of us are normal.
Yeah, completely normal.
Uh-huh.
So, the doctor's name is Miranda Jones. Do we think the Miranda-class starship is named after her?
I can't see why anyone would want to honor her.
Well, the ship kind of shaped like her head and her hair.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah, well, I mean, you kind of look at it, it kind of got a Miranda
class. Did they share a designer? Because the Enterprise is, did it share a designer with the Enterprise? Because, well, that one designer, it's kind of, that one engineer is kind of all over her.
That's true, Larry is all over her.
Yeah.
No, that would make sense. Larry, he did the Constitution, so he builds the Miranda class and names it after her. That makes sense.
Oh, right. So I was going to point out that Scotty is, of course, in full stereotype mode with his kilt.
And his tartan, yeah.
Uh-huh. Surprised he doesn't have a bagpipe slung over his shoulder.
Well, he was wearing pants. But
looking up at Memory Alpha for just stuff on this episode, and it pointed out that this time his sock that went in pointed out that this time it, with his dress uniform, he had different socks.
Oh, Star Trek.
A good use of time.
That is so Memory Alpha.
How sleazy Kirk is. I mean, Kirk is, you know, he's a womanizer, but he's downright like, I'll bend you over this table. I mean,
right.
It's
a lot worse here than it is at most any other point in the series.
Yeah, I mean, it's like embarrassing. Even Bones is kind of like, well, I just, you know, I mean, come on.
And heck, even
hey,
with
you know why
Kirk,
they call me
usually,
Bones?
I mean, it will just be a line or two when he stops, and if or if there's flirting back with, well, with it only going on if there's flirting going back and forth.
Right, that's the thing. Usually
if you're saying
like,
it at a woman, it's creepy. If she's returning it, then it's flirting.
Right. I mean, it's kind of a, he's fishing and then there's return and it goes on. And if not, it usually would stop, but he's just kind of on and on and on here.
Yeah. So my question is, they're talking about the Eidic, which is, again, I think very cool. But they never really explain what it means or what it is or anything like that. They just kind of reference it as if everybody knows. Did they cover this in a previous episode?
No, I don't think so.
But Spock does mention the infinite diversity and infinite combinations, though.
Oh, did he? Maybe I missed that when I
yeah, because Dr. Jones, like, I see you're wearing that. You're using it to mock me because I'm not Vulcan, aren't you? You bastard.
Yeah,
I was
that's...
No, I was wearing it to honor you because you can do this because of the infinite combination nonsense I'm talking about.
Yeah, my question is,
she's yeah, sure.
As Spock, I would lean forward and go, who told you that I was a dick?
Also, based on Scott's pronunciation, I just want to point out, Eidic, coming soon from Apple. It's also
so I guess she spent 4 years with Vulcans, but she hasn't picked up on the fact that Vulcans aren't really bitter, spiteful people. They're
not petty.
But the thing is, she's a telepath. So she can kind of understand what they're thinking. Even if they're not expressing that stuff, it's still all floating around in there.
Okay.
But so can she you probably blame actually someone, had a, yes, can you Scott? Blame someone for their subconscious, though?
She apparently does.
Just like a woman. Oh, my fiance doesn't listen to this podcast. Moving on.
No, you were just saying what Bones was thinking. Or what the writer was thinking.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I think the writer had a problem with women.
Yes, well, or, that kind of...
Or whoever it was that they just said, redo this.
Right, I mean, it could have just been, you know, the story editor.
Or it could have... Or a gaffer or something.
Well, there's certainly some gaffes going on here.
Anyway, so we get the whole title drop here in this scene. We're talking about, you know, you can't only assume that everything beautiful is good and that anything that's ugly is bad. Message.
Yeah, which is, you know, okay, it's a little ham-fisted, a little heavy-handed, but, you know, still, all right, you know. I'm glad in the 24th century they figured out things ancient Romans figured out.
Plus, you know, conversation gets a little heavy and hammy when you all sit there drinking whiskey all night long.
This one's blue.
Space whiskey.
Yeah. Keeps your toilet blue up to 4 months.
Now, can't you just eat one of those toilet drop-in things and, you know, every time you pee in the toilet? Yeah.
So Larry and Scotty, they all peace out.
Oh, after Dr. Jones has her vision of murderous intent.
That's right. Dr. Jones senses that the crew is uneasy. And that somebody on the crew has murderous intent.
Dun, oh, it's gone. No, I guess we shouldn't worry about it. Because that's basically what happens, too. They ask, who is it? Oh, I lost it. And then nobody ever references it again.
I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody on the crew whoever it was is probably the person thinking, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, right then.
Much of a telepath, is she?
Yeah, thinking baseball, grandma's cookies,
Well, she spent 4 years in Vulcan to tone down her telepathy. Maybe it worked too well.
Yeah.
It's just been regressed down to woman's intuition.
I should check your email.
If you have nothing to hide, then
why? Of course, granted, it could have been, of course, murderous intent on. Someone could have just been getting very annoyed at that wobbling chair.
What?
Well, of course, the murderous intent could have been at just getting fed up with the wobbly chair that they were having to sit in.
I'll kill this chair.
Right.
She was sensing someone in the crew wanting to kill Larry Marvick because the ship design sucks.
Yeah, well, after meeting Larry, it's not surprising that anyone would want to kill him. So,
well, I don't know. I mean, he did manage to design the Enterprise without any toilets.
If that's not cause for wanting to kill someone, I don't know what is.
He put windows. What more do you want?
Yeah, you back your ass up to the window and...
Literally.
Blast right. Your shit into space.
Uh-huh.
Explosive decompression.
Takes all the effort out of it.
Yeah, you don't have to push. You just
throw your intestines out, too, but...
It's fine.
Yeah, everyone's skinny and in shape. It's fine.
You just take your dick and you start winding it around in circles and it cranks your intestines back in.
Meanwhile, when you're shitting out the window, you just hope the artificial gravity's not reaching out quite so far as to pull it back to the hole.
It's electrostatics. It just smears it along the side.
That could, after enough time, that would probably mess with warp aerodynamics or whatever.
Warp aerodynamics.
Warp.
Field.
Warp field stuff.
Aerodynamics.
Yeah. Warp field aerodynamics stuff.
And you're the one on New Memory Alpha. That's what I don't get.
All right, so Larry.
Yeah, so as if the last scene wasn't quite bad enough, here's some more.
Ah, yes.
So, Dr. Jones retreats back to her room.
Dr. Jones.
And there's a knock at her door, and it's Larry. And he just doesn't understand why she's not interested in nice guys like him.
Oh, I'm so glad you went there with that, because that's how I was reading it, too.
Yeah. And, again, they're in the purplest goddamn room I've ever seen.
It's the feminine suite. So Dr. Jones expresses to him that, I'm sorry, I just see you as a friend.
So to speak.
Yes. Which, you know, no, she doesn't see him. She sees him as a pest.
Yeah.
And a creep. Which he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it the unitard? It's the unitard, isn't it?
That in the weakest looking unemotional kiss ever. Mm-hmm. Like I think I've kissed ice cream cones more passionately than that.
Oh, you have. I've seen you.
Oh, yeah. It's ice cream.
Yeah, you went down on it like you gave you jewelry.
So Larry is nonplussed.
Right, because when a woman doesn't want you, it's clearly her fault. She has wronged you somehow by not returning your affections. That's how it works, guys.
Right.
Yeah.
And so what you love this, the Medusan, the ugliest being in the universe, over me, with my jumpsuit and oily hair? Well,
have you seen me?
No, I can kind of get that, actually, but I'm going to be angry at Medusan anyway. In fact, I'll show you.
A being with no stable physical form, those tend to be amazing in the sack.
Yeah, it's true. They do this thing with their thing.
See, they can penetrate both fallopian tubes at the same time.
You don't know what sex is, do you?
It's when the stork comes down and puts the seed inside the mommy's belly.
Yeah. So he's mad at the Medusa because, of course, when your girl that you have a crush on likes somebody, you kill the dude that she likes because that somehow will make her like you.
Yeah.
Right.
And at this point, Dr. Jones realizes, the creep, you're the one with the murderous intent. Why didn't I see that coming before?
Oh, because I'm not very well written. That's why.
Well, he isn't exactly the creep.
Oh, well, he's pretty creepy.
He's the creep there. That she's been around with for the longest amount of time.
I kind of think she's taking this assignment just to not have to deal with his shit anymore.
He's clearly the devil she knows, not the devil she just met at a dinner party.
Right.
So as Larry runs off to show her who's boss, I'm going to flip open the lid to this Medusa and shoot it right in its face. I want to see its expression as I kill it.
Right.
Because Larry is retarded.
Also, he's shooting an energy being with a phaser.
Right, which could be like candy to this thing. We don't even know.
Yeah, I question the effectiveness of this plan. Possibly a better option would be to take it to one of the space toilet windows and just flush it out the ship.
Or just throw a glass of water on it.
Okay, yeah. One of these things, yes, maybe like toss cat litter on there too, just to be sure.
Right. Or you can do how you normally kill beings like this, is put water in them, let them sit overnight so they become this watery, ugly mess. Because if you let Surge sit with ice in it, it just becomes unpalatable. Although his reaction of interpretive dance is very compelling. Oh my gosh. Oh, I'm spinning.
It's like a nice little salsa number.
Yeah.
No, salsa, not porno.
Oh, sorry. I can't tell the difference.
Yeah, this isn't Rick Medina we're talking
weird
about.
Weird fetishes.
You have no idea. All so he runs to the turbo lift and grabs the turbo lift dong.
And just gives it a good old twist.
Yeah, it gives it a nice little handy twist there.
Handy.
Yeah. And I like how she comes in, and then she sees the weapon laying on the ground, the little hand phaser. And what you do when you see a weapon laying in a room is you go in there and pick it up, you know, especially when it was used for attempted murder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's important to get your prints all over it.
Right.
Yeah.
No, this is the future. Nobody has fingerprints anymore. They evolved out.
It was an evolutionary advantage to lose them.
Yeah, I mean, having smooth hands is kind of nice.
Makes it easier to, like, murder people and steal things if you don't have fingerprints.
Right. I was going to say lick your palms and stick to glass, but whatever.
Ooh, good idea.
All right, so what are we looking at?
An intersection cup. All right, so cut to the West Wing shot of Kirk and crew storming down the hallways.
They're having a walk and talk. That was invented by the Sorkinites of Sorkin 4.
Meanwhile, Larry is headed down to engineering to go be mad.
Yeah.
And Scotty is drunk as shit and does not realize that Larry is clearly out of his goddamn mind.
The first clue is his hair is slightly messed up. And as we know in Star Trek, you're fine until your hair is messed up.
Well, to be fair, that was the 60s in general.
Well, yeah. No, that's what I'm saying.
Unless you were a dirty hippie.
Right. But you don't see any goddamn hippies in this show except the bad guys in space.
The way to Eden.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. They were kind of the bad guys, weren't they? They didn't have like a disease or something?
One of them had a disease. The other ones were just dirty space hippies.
Oh, well, still.
I think, as it turns out, it was the one without any hair that had the disease.
Mm.
Now, which is how you know he wasn't a genuine space hippie.
Now, the fight in engineering. Oh, man.
That is a mess of editing.
Holy crap. Dude's bald spot starting to show. He beats up the entire engineering crew. He beats up all the engineers.
Because, as you well know, when you go insane, you immediately become super strong and resilient.
Yes.
Also, he was fighting nothing but red shirts. So, you know, he had good odds.
And red shirts and Scotty, but, you know, Scotty's missing a finger, so he couldn't be any challenge.
Was it like Samson? If he loses fingers, he loses his powers? Actually, I have some girls
very
in high
hairy
school,
fingers.
Probably. So he takes the Enterprise and starts, jams the gas pedal, puts a brick on the gas pedal or something?
He stands by the engineering ping pong table and sort of puts his hands on it, and he flitters in and out of existence for a little bit.
And then he kisses Wesley Crusher.
That was the absolute best moment.
Yeah.
Scott, me and XB went to go see the episode when it was in the theaters
mm-hmm.
of Next Gen. What is it? No man has gone before. No one, whatever it's called.
Right.
Wait, well, that was about Wesley's butt.
And so, was it me or you that shouted out, "Now kiss"?
No, it was someone behind us.
Was it?
Yeah.
In the theater,
we're not that
very
awesome.
Appropriately. Yeah. It was glorious. Yes.
When two dorks forget they're not doing a podcast and think they can say whatever they want.
Yeah, you can't say stuff when people are actually listening.
No. Yeah, it's much safer to do this where nobody is listening.
No, that the whole environment in that theater for that showing was just great.
It was a group of people who really wanted to see some season one Next Gen.
Uh-huh.
For everything that people entailed. I want to be around.
These are people who paid to go and watch two episodes in uncomfortable seats in a poorly cooled room.
Oh my God. So with one hand grenade, you could take out about 50 virgins.
And me and Mickey.
Well, whatever you did before y'all went there, I don't know. Hey, do you want to not be the only two versions going to the show? We got to leave in 10
minutes. Call your mom.
All right, where the hell are we in this episode? Is it still around?
Okay, so the Enterprise has gone to the unthinkable speed of warp 8.5.
Hey, on the old curve, that's fast.
I think they actually cracked warp 9.
They did, like 9.5?
Yeah.
And somehow they managed to not turn into salamanders.
Well, don't be silly. It wasn't 10.
Well, I mean, after 9.5 comes 10. That's just how math works. Come on.
So they decide to go down to engineering. Kirk gets a security detail, which is good. You take security. But Kirk is the first one in the room.
He's Kirk.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. In chess, you always put the queen first.
I do.
Too easy. I'm just going to let that one let it sit there.
Well, Kirk can't be the king because he moved in first. I mean, he was the fastest piece.
Right, sure. I'm sure he's the fastest piece.
Oh-ho.
So he's...
And see, Miranda could read that in his mind, which was why she was not interested in his advances. Because otherwise, being a female, she would have not been able to resist him.
Well, she probably got a flashback of all of his other conquests across the galaxy and decided she didn't want whatever he had.
She saw his medical report that he had in his head.
Yeah. No, she read that out of McCoy's head.
Six different strains of space syphilis? No, thank you.
Strangely, they all cancel each other out.
Why, this syphilis is made of penicillin. That's weird.
Penicillin.
Penisyphilis.
Well, when you say it like that, it just sounds like penis syphilis, which is, you know.
Basically what it is.
Yeah.
All right, so they subdue Sweaty McGee. And for some reason, when Kirk punches him, he snaps out of it for a little bit.
He's
got
Kirk.
Healing punches.
Yeah.
And so, Dr. Jones shows up.
Dr. Jones.
And wants to talk to him for reasons, I guess. I don't know.
I think she thought she could, you know, telepath him to be okay again.
Well, that's not the case, because he immediately loses his shit and starts throttling her.
Yeah. To which she seems not even annoyed, really.
She doesn't even try and fight back. She's like, okay, whatever, just get it out of your system.
Well,
I won't raise my hand to a man. That's not my place.
Yeah, which means she's very feminine, which means she's passive as hell.
This episode's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Although... We do get like the money shot of McCoy. He's dead, Jim.
Woo!
Everyone take a shot. He said it. He's dead, Jim. Alright.
Meanwhile, in space, the Enterprise is kind of fucked. They don't know where the shit they've gone to.
They're outside.
They've got a general idea. Apparently, they're way outside the galaxy.
They're so far outside the galaxy, they can't even see it anymore. Which doesn't make a lot of sense.
In fact, they may have gone so fast they entered a space-time continuum.
Oh, that hurt me. Oh, I cringed. Oh, it hurt. Oh.
You know, if they would have just put two or three more words in that sentence, they could have made it work just fine.
Exactly. It took like one more word, you know.
Yeah, rip, a different here. Space-time anomaly. Continuum. That would make sense.
Right.
We've passed into a different space-time continuum. Because
that would
like
actually
that.
Make more sense than them traveling outside the galactic barrier.
Exactly.
Which, as they've established before, is kind of hard to do by accident.
Also, really goddamn far away.
Well, they went faster than Warp 9.5, so...
Unless they like aimed up instead of traveling along the plane.
Right. Well, that's the thing, though. Do we know the barrier is not just like a ring around the edge? Is it actually, you know, completely...
maybe the lid is off the pot.
It's like a speed bump in a parking lot. You just go around it. Fuck that. I'm not following your rules. Yeah, so they're just kind of hanging out in null space.
Yeah.
They're lost. They're floating in about the Phlogiston wondering, what the hell do we do? No, they're not lost in space because there's no pedophiles around them.
Oh.
Damn. Yeah, Larry's dead. So they're trying to figure out what they're gonna do, right?
And somebody, I forget who it is it Chekhov?
No, Chekhov doesn't do anything this episode. I think he says one line.
Chekhov says one unhelpful thing, which I don't quite remember what it was.
Well, somebody says something helpful. I don't remember who it is. They said, you know what? We've got a great navigator on board. That ugly motherfucker. Let's talk to him. Maybe he'll steer the ship. We'll just put the box on top of the controls, and that's a terrible idea.
Yeah, okay, so we need to backtrack a little bit, because the whole reason that Larry, Marvik, and the Medusan are on the ship is because Starfleet's arranging with the Medusans to basically learn how to design controls to put on starships so Medusans can be navigators for Starfleet.
Okay. We did it with whales. Why not Medusans?
To me, that just seems to raise all kinds of, like, logistic problems.
They'll just solve them in the animated series, don't worry.
And see, that's another thing. This would have been a great animated series episode.
This would be half as long?
It would be half as long. It would have a lot less of the blatant sexism, I think, as a result of being half as long and the slightly different target audience.
Yeah.
And they could probably have gone... you know, different directions with the Medusan just because no real effect constraints.
Yeah, the Medusan could have been like a giant Vulcan.
Right.
I was going to say they would have just drawn an actual like Medusa with the toga and the snake hair. That's probably what they would have done with the script.
Except it's actually frightening, so just be like green wiggle worms.
Yeah, pretty much.
And, you know, the ambassador would be wearing a box on his head the entire time. As he just walked around the ship.
Paper bag.
Okay. More breathable.
Okay, so Spock has the idea of like, well, I'm half Vulcan, so I can probably look at it. And why don't I mind meld with it? That'd be cool, right? That way I can bring his brain into my body.
He's going to perform the fusion dance with it.
Yeah. Fusion dance ha, or whatever it's called. he's gonna make Gotenks and take the ship back to the galaxy.
He's gonna form Gotenks and fight Hitler's ghost.
So apparently the Medusans have the ability to like possess people where you like merge your personalities and they can use your body and stuff.
I think that's the Vulcan mind mill that did that. It just does funny when you do it on somebody that has no physical form.
Because otherwise the Medusans would just be Vorlons.
Right. Now, here is another terrible, terrible scene. Once would they get done with that conversation?
The Enterprise's flower market.
Oh my god, what the hell is the point of this scene? It's just Kirk in here flirting with this woman. It's just embarrassing.
Yeah,
they're in the middle of space. He's got 400 people whose lives depend on him, and the only thing he can think of is to take this woman down to the flower room to try to get to her flower.
Right, because...
And that she isn't going to automatically tell that this is all part of a ruse to distract her.
Right, so the whole point is,
but
like...
But then again, this is Kirk.
Okay, so the whole plan here is they know Miranda's never going to allow Spock to fuse with Kolos. Kolos?
Kolos.
Yes. Yeah, because she's jealous of Spock.
Right, so the whole plan is that her mind must become so engaged and she must be so distracted that she won't sense that anything's going on. So they're acknowledging that her telepathic powers would let her detect halfway across the ship that Spock's messing with the ambassador, but apparently completely neglecting that in the same room with Kirk, she won't be able to read that distractor.
What she's reading out of his mind is just penis, boobs. But she already knows this. She read this at the dinner table. This is nothing new.
Right. So she's just thinking the static of his mind.
Yes. So she's just like, okay, whatever. Flowers. These smell pretty. So that's why the distraction is working.
She also drops the note that she's never been to Earth.
Which I think is interesting because she's a human. She trained on Vulcan, but she's never been to Earth. Again, it's kind of those neat little sci-fi things. I'm glad they threw in there.
Uh-huh.
And then there's Spock walking with some serious swag down this corridor. Oh, he's swagging.
Because he's about to go bang her man.
Hell yeah. He's going to meld all up in that.
He's going to have so much energy.
Well, I don't. So we go back to Kirk, and there he is holding a woman again by her upper arms, like, you know, where the fuck do you think you're going? You know, it's the most aggressive kind of look. She has this problem of just being kissed completely without her permission this entire episode.
Uh-huh.
I mean, look, he's like holding her still. She tries to get away, and he's like physically like containing her.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Oh, it's so bad.
This is why I wish Ken was here this week, because I think he would feel very uncomfortable right now.
Oh.
It would be quite amusing. As we would, you know, grasp him by the upper arms and keep him from leaving.
Damn you, I love you, but I hate you, I love you.
So she realizes something is up, so she runs off to go see Kolos. Just to see Spock leaving the bedroom with a cigarette in his mouth.
Yeah, taking off his glasses as if he was taking off a condom. Which it kind of is when you think about it.
Yeah. And she's like, no, you can't. It's like Spock's like, I already got permission. Sorry, toots.
Yeah. Kolos knows how to say yes. If you just say yes, all this would be so much easier.
Stop resisting me.
And then the cool part, and here's the part where it goes, oh, they actually added some sci-fi into the show. They talk about her dress being like this complex sensor web allowing her to kind of sense and see.
Right, because McCoy runs up when she's like, okay, teach me how to fly the ship. I can memorize anything instantly.
Yeah.
And McCoy's all, dude, you're blind. You can't do shit.
Record scratch.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
And the thing is, at that point, if you go back in the episode and look, you can kind of read that she's not exactly interacting with things right.
She doesn't look at anything. She just stares.
Right. Like, but she glances in the direction of things in a general sense. But no, she doesn't look at anything directly.
Yeah, and this is one of the times the episode is like, oh, we just thought you were a bad actress, but you turned out to be a really good actress. Sorry.
Well, that's how your dumbass managed to get pricked by a rose thorn. You didn't see it.
Right.
Oh, that's why you didn't lean away from all these people trying to kiss you, is you didn't see them coming. Yeah, so surprise, she's Geordi.
Yeah, pre-Geordi.
Only less depressing.
Yeah. Now, in fairness, we would love to see Geordi in that dress instead of a visor.
Exactly. This makes you wish that Geordi's wardrobe had had that sensor web dress thing the whole time instead of the visor.
Yeah, because he's got the legs for it.
Like, making it a nice velvet and...
throw some baggy Cosby sweater, huh?
Throw some baggy sweatpants under there. He's set.
So here's where she gets all defensive, like, I didn't tell you because I don't want to be pitied. I hate pity. I hate people that pity me. I can see better than you all. I can measure the distance from here to that door. Can you do that? Kirk's like, no, but I can tell your mascara smudged.
Yeah, but it was his tongue that did it. So she goes in to talk to Kolos, I guess. And then screams or something? That is one green-ass room.
That room is as green as the transporter is purple.
Yeah, man. We're getting primary up in this bitch.
But green and purple aren't even primary colors!
Hold on a second. I must destroy a cat.
Okay. Again. Which is different than the thing I usually say.
Well, Mickey doesn't have any of those around.
That's true. Because he is the one in his house.
Where was I?
Losing your friendship. I love you, Mickey. I do. All right, anyway.
I should listen to this episode later.
Oh, I'm going to be getting a dirty call about Wednesday afternoon. All right. So anyway.
Okay, so they've moved Kang or Kolos up to the bridge.
No.
And they put up a little privacy booth around Spock's chair so he can duke in private on the bridge.
Yeah.
And also so he can expose Kolos to himself.
Wait.
I think you repeat yourself.
Yeah, I think he wanted to expose himself to Kolos. Now, I love this part. He's standing there, and his head comes up, and the only thing I can think of is his hand coming up with a piece of black slinky lingerie. Like the burlesque music. Na-na, 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 na. And his leg comes around the corner and everything, dangling his underwear.
So, Spock mind melds with Kolos, slips out from behind the curtain and smiles.
Yeah, we
and
actually get to see some. Well, but we actually get to see some acting this episode, and that's kind of nice. Because it's easy to forget that some of these guys are actually really good actors.
Like,
I'm sure they've had some guests on. although McCoy's reaction of like, that's not Spock. And he's like, oh, I'm glad it's not Spock.
Yes.
That was funny. He's like, geez, McCoy.
Can you stay merged with him forever?
Yeah.
And Uhura, whose name means freedom. Ugh, Roddenberry. Yeah. Put down the hammer.
Hey, it needed the hammer in the 60s. So they're talking and Spock is not being Spock. Can you fly the ship?
And Spock's like, out of the way, useless. Let me drive.
Yeah. Although, again, I like Spock's soliloquy here because it actually got some sci-fi. You know, you talk about humanity from a different perspective and how weird it is to have a physical form. And you get that sense of actual alienness from this part. So there's these little glimpses of actual good sci-fi in the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really good they did not let Dr. Jones merge with Cost and then drive the ship. Because she's already got some Troy aspects going about her. If you put her behind the wheel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Especially since she's blind.
Yeah. They drive into every planet they came across.
Which is interesting, because where they are, there are no planets to be found. But she would still drive into one.
Yeah.
How did you hit a mailbox in space? Sorry. It's a joke repeat, but it's still apropos.
No, laughing at Troy crashing the Enterprise is always funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every, all several dozen times she did it. And then just like that, there's some blue flashing lights and they're back in the galaxy, baby.
At a point so close to where they left that it's not even worth mentioning the difference. Thanks, Chekhov. You're so helpful.
Yeah. Like I said, he has like one line this whole show and it's pretty stupid.
That line is so terrible. It sounds like Bungie wrote it.
Ooh.
That's a Destiny joke that no one in this podcast gets, huh?
Yeah, because you know what I was thinking? Halo? But yeah, I haven't really played Destiny.
Yeah.
So, okay, we're home. Get the hell out of Spock's body. Thanks for your help. No. Get back in your box, bitch.
Back in your cage. And Spock makes puppy dog eyes and says, but I don't want to.
Yeah, I kind of like, you know, having a body. What's this between my legs? Okay, back in the box.
Okay.
Yeah, he actually gets some emoting and everything from Nimoy. He actually gets to, you know, show facial expression and his beautiful porcelain teeth.
Ding!
But I mean that like the bad 60s porcelain that's coffee stained.
And cigarette stained because 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although so, Koloss returns to the box.
But, oh no, there's a problem. Oh,
whoops.
Left his tech spec decoder back on the table.
Yeah. So now Spock has gone mad with craziness.
Yes, craziness with madness.
And we get the late night Spock cam.
And he pops his head up again. Oh, there's a bra. Na-na-na-na-na-na.
I feel like you should be doing that sort of burlesque number to the Star Trek theme.
So
Spock goes crazy and kills dozens of crew members before Kirk is able to subdue him.
Because he is, in fact, a Vulcan and twice as strong as any of these bastards.
At least.
Except for Kirk.
Well,
except for Kirk, who just, like, uses one hand.
He uses one hand in as much as he holds the phaser with one hand and shoots him. Which is interesting because, like, Spock takes apart 3 or 4 dozen security officers all carrying phasers before Kirk picks one up and just shoots him.
Right. I love those hammer punches, though. You put your fist together and come down. Ah!
They're devastating.
Yeah, immediately unconscious.
Devastating is a dropkick.
Flying dropkick.
What if Kirk did a Ryder kick?
Well, his pants would probably split.
Oh, like those things aren't stretchy as hell. Come on.
Well, right, Kirk's need to be.
So Spock is in the medical bay, wherever the medical bay is this week. And Dr. Jones is keeping a careful eye over him to make sure that he passes so she gets Koloss back. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's worried about him.
Sure she is.
So Kirk believes that she can use her telepathy to fix Spock's brain. They've been having a lot of problems with Spock's brain this season, so...
Yeah, and again, she does a pretty good job, especially because she doesn't have her dress on. She doesn't have any sensors. She can't see. She does a pretty good job of making that apparent in her acting. It's kind of subtle, but I like it.
Yeah, like when she's facing Kirk, she kind of like looks just towards his cheek or his shoulder generally.
Right.
So she's pointed at him, just not at his eyes.
Well, and Kirk is being a total asshole here, too, where he comes in and she's like, who's there? And he doesn't say anything for like a solid
that
minute.
That is, yeah, the total dickest thing to do.
Yeah. What a dick move.
Although, well, in their society, they probably don't like deal with blind people very often to actually like, you know,
well,
have...
it was probably Kirk's full intention to be a complete dick through this to try and get her to snap out of it and realize, stop being a bitch and help.
Right.
This person needs your help.
In fairness, what he could have done is come in and she was like, who's there? Who is it? He could have went, Larry, I've come back for you. You know.
Oh, by the way, Larry had a heart attack in that scene. He died. I guess we could have mentioned that.
Well, we mentioned he died.
Did we?
Yeah.
I mean, he just dead. Just he was acting and then dead.
I thought we skipped over that. Well, anyway, he's dead. So, yes.
Been dead. He's already floating outside the ship, I'm sure.
Yeah, he's dead, and McCoy explained that he's dead with no cause of death. He just stopped.
He died of a broken heart.
His part of the story was over.
Just like Padme.
Yeah. Look at the fingerprint smudges on the wall there now that Kirk's talking to McCoy. There's these dirty fingerprint smudges right there.
It's from their makeup. Everyone in the 60s wore like 6 pounds of makeup.
On their fingertips?
Yeah.
Oh.
Gotta make sure they don't shine.
Well, no. Like you said, the people in the future don't have fingerprints. You have to put makeup over their hands so you don't see them. You know, because they had to keep it.
Right. You got to cake in all the ridges.
Right.
So, because Dr. Jones does not want to help Spock, Kirk is here to deliver the moral of the story, that to get a woman to do what you want, you need to treat them poorly and rough them up a little bit.
Yeah. So, space in the future and Ireland today.
God.
Then, oddly, both have a lot of liquor. I wonder how much potatoes the Enterprise is carrying.
So, how many potatoes does it take to kill an Irishman? Zero.
Oh.
Famine joke. I'm pretty damn Irish, so whatever.
All your old jokes are new again to these people.
I know, it's wonderful.
And yet, like, I'm the only one laughing still.
Yeah, that's because you're polite, and I appreciate that. So, she grabs Spock's titties. I mean, she just straight up just grabs a handful of Spock titty.
Well, you know, she's just doing as she's learned.
This is how you greet, and you just grab titties. Oh, okay, I see. So, where are we at?
Cut away, and Spock staggers into the office.
Yes.
Hey, Spock, looks like you've seen a visit from the devil himself. And Spock replies, Miranda. Like, Jesus, really? You're a little on the nose there, huh?
Yeah. So Kirk does the extensive search of stepping 1 foot into the hallway, looking left and to the right, and not seeing her. Oh, that's done.
No, like, after she finished fixing Spock, he just left and, like, helped her put on her sensor thing again.
She's just stumbling through the hallways, Spock.
Yeah. Oh, she hadn't even found the door out of the infirmary yet. She just keeps, like, bumping into the walls in there.
So, I've seen an X3 where Cyclops is wandering around the forest looking for help, and Wolverine pretends he can't smell him.
Another great Cyclops moment.
Scott's dead, sorry. Let's go, Aurora.
Yeah. So, but that, her bouncing along the walls explains all the smudges, though.
Yeah.
It's like her face imprint and all the purple walls everywhere. All right. So they go to the transporter room. They're ready to kick her off the ship. And there's that little round ship that appears. And I love the fact Spock, again, is swagging so hard. Look at the bling he is wearing.
Oh, so that little, the Medusan ship they meet up with. I'm kind of interested in why it has windows.
Well, Medusans like to look outside.
I'm just not sure there's any indication that they can actually see in a conventional sense like that.
Well, here's something fun. That ship wasn't there in the original episode. It was a planet.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah.
Oh, what a downgrade. That's just sad. Well, that whole planet, now they just have a ship. Huh.
Well, the ship takes them places.
Yeah, what do energy beams mean with a planet anyway?
So she's on the pad. They're getting rid of her. She tries as hard as she can to do the Vulcan salute and fails miserably. She kind of does a princess wave at him instead of the, you know, normal.
She gives exactly as much respect as she intended to.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, live long or whatever.
Yeah. So
Spock and go fuck yourself.
And he slams those levers at the top as hard as he can. Get out.
And Spock puts on the visor, but Kirk doesn't.
Kirk didn't even leave the room. Like, no. when they beamed him up, it's like, okay, nobody but Spock can be in here, visor or not. Beaming down, Kirk's just kind of chilling there.
Yeah, just smirking like he normally does. Smirking like a merkin.
I think more of the mistake here is Spock putting on the visor when it was totally unnecessary.
Yeah,
because I mean, beaming them up, he didn't know, like, what if, you know, they forgot to put him in his box? What if the box didn't come with them? Here, there's not any danger.
Right. Well, I mean, he had the bling on, so he wanted to complete the outfit. You know, you gotta, your outfit's gotta be on point, sir.
He was going straight from this to record his new rap single.
Yeah.
Yeah, his mixtape is fire.
don't think anyone ever did rap.
DJ Spock Daddy.
Yeah. Straight out of Vulcan. Oh, man. I'm not nearly talented enough to come up with a Spock rap on the spot, so sorry.
That's okay. We're all far too white for that.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. What are they, a bunch of dorks around watching Star Trek making a podcast out of it? No, you don't say. We don't have the gift of rap. I'm shocked and disappointed, sir.
The problem is we only have the gift of, like, horrible white person rap to just, you know, make fun of it with.
Yeah, hip to the hop to hibbity, 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 hop, hop to hip.
No, stop, stop that, please.
If you look at the rap, you go crazy. You go mad.
Yes, yeah,
that's a good rap.
Spock composed a rap in honor of Ambassador Kolos that drives anybody who listens to it insane.
Oh, Larry, we hardly knew ye.
Yeah, that's fine.
We knew enough.
We know that the product in your hair was not waterproof, that's for sure. Because you started sweating, that shit came down. So another successful episode.
I'm pleased with this episode choice. I picked it basically just because Pulaski was in it.
Oh, you bastard.
But there's a lot going on to talk about in it anyway.
Yeah, see, the thing is, Scott, there's two episodes of the original series with Pulaski in it.
But it was the other one.
Not as good as this.
Oh, so it's worse than this.
Worse in the sense that there's not as much amazingly horrible things to talk about.
Ah. One thing about this episode that I kept noticing is, like, I kept expecting it to end. Like, there's all these points of resolution, but then it would just kind of keep going.
Oh, like when Spock came out of
it. We were mentioning that before you came on, and that 60s media, comics, stories, TV, it feels like it takes forever to end.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, well, resolution point. Great, now we can move on. No. Now something else is just going to... It's not like it's moving on to something else interesting. It's just kind of rehashing what's already been done and drawing it out somehow.
You say points of resolution, and I'm just thinking of Spock walking out of the Ambassador's quarters.
yeah.
Wiping his hand. Oh, don't ask. Holding his two fingers up to Kirk's nose. Here.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, how's it feel now, human? Round ear. There's got to be good, like, racist sayings for, you know, about aliens towards us. There's got to be. Dirt kicker.
Is there anything more offensive than just being called human, though? I mean.
Not anymore, no.
Yeah, by the way, the 23rd century, whenever this is, we're doing all right. So, Pulaski is in this one, and I'm still just freaked out by this. That she was like, because her voice is what got me. Because I was watching her, I couldn't tell by her face, because her face in Next Generation looks like a baseball mitt that's been left out in the rain. But here...
that's amazing, Scott. That's exactly what I was thinking to describe her face in Next Generation.
So, but here, you know, she's actually attracted those big green eyes and everything, and, oh, God, what happened to her?
I can still see it in her expression. She's got that same condescending Pulaski,
Yeah, right.
Well, I'll tell you what happened. 30 more years.
Yeah, and as everything we've learned in this episode, things are only worthwhile if they're beautiful.
Actually, there's 20 more years.
And that's the truth.
Yeah, we trust everybody on the bridge crew. The only reason she was so awesome and everyone liked her is because she was pretty. It had nothing to do with the fact that she spent 4 years on Vulcan, that she was psychic, for God's sakes. No, it's because she was pretty.
We should never trust a psychic.
Well, psychics never trust me or something. I don't know.
She wasn't even a telepath. She was just doing cold readings.
You have a grandparent somewhere in your past whose first name starts with A. Oh, that's amazing. How did you know? Just cold readings. Did they ever do space gypsies?
They did space Irish.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not offensive. It's not funny when it's about my people.
I know, I'm thinking we should, like, do that episode at some point in the future.
Maybe. I don't know how hilarious it actually is or how much it's just tiresome.
Well, it depends if we do it around St. Patrick's Day and if we're all drunk or not.
That would be a good theme episode, though.
And what we're all drunk.
What would the theme be?
Us being drunk.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, that's kind of my theme every week.
Right. I'm not sure how that's really very different.
That's true. See, some of us have
superhero time every week is St. Patrick's Day.
I could go for some corned beef, though.
Mmm, corned beef.
Yeah.
All right, so next week is animated series again.
Yes, it is.
Ooh.
Now, I've got two episodes.
I was going to say, it's starting a whole generation of furry lovers.
Ugh.
Oh, yeah. Hot cat girl action.
Now, to be fair, I think Disney started that before.
Oh, well. Yeah,
stupid
but this
Robin
is...
Hood.
Yeah, but she wasn't nearly as sexy as the one in Star Trek, though. I mean, she was had sex appeal in the animated series.
I was talking about Baloo.
Oh, God. Why did I see that coming? Oh, man. Oh, I'm so angry at myself right now.
He's a bear with a long pole. What's not attractive about that?
Oh, God. Yeah, okay, you win.
Okay, so going by this list that somebody's composed of top 8 animated episodes, there's one here called Mud's Passion, which is supposed to involve space roofies, which that sounds promising. And also, The Magics of Megas 2, which I'll just sort of let this screenshot speak for itself.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, animated mud looks amazing.
Okay, then.
Oh, man.
What is going on with that devil's upper body?
Everything. Everything is going on with it.
That devil's upper body has got it going on. That's for certain.
Hell yeah.
Below the waist, not so much.
That's just like some kind of like print shirt, right? That's why it looks like that.
No, I was saying he looks Irish to me because he's got no body hair from the waist up, but he's like a bear from the waist down. I mean, that's pretty Irish.
A yak.
Yeah. And then the Irish mud picture.
He looks like he should be an extra on Laugh-In.
He does have kind of that, yeah. All right, guys, now stand close together. Okay, put your arm around him. We're going to take a picture. I don't want you. I don't care. Put your arm around him and take the picture. Fine, Mom.
Spock's arm looks dislocated in that.
It does.
He's Vulcan. That just does that.
Yeah. Vulcan joints don't work like human joints do. They're much more logical.
Yeah, they have internal eyelids, and they're all double jointed.
Yeah. Exactly. So, Scott, I have good news and bad news for you, and they're both the same thing. We need you to come back next week.
Next week? You sure?
Yes.
All right. Not a problem.
Yes, we do.
All right. Well, I, all right.
Yeah, because Ken's going to be having his mouth poked or something.
Well, what do you know? So is Hey Mickey.
Oh. But I think the hands in Ken's mouth will be hairier.
Oh, she, never mind. See, I don't know how well you know these guys, so I don't know what kind of jokes I can say. So I don't want to like be too nasty, but anyway, okay. So, well, I'm sorry that he's not going to be here, and I hope he's going to be okay.
He just needs a new teething ring.
Well, yeah, I don't really know him, so I really don't give that much of a shit. But I'm trying to be polite. So
there we go.
So shut up, Hey Mickey.
Ken just needs a new teething ring, and he'll be fine. But in the meantime,
yeah, no, I'd be more than happy to. So. So do I write this down on my W-2 or what when I start getting the checks? Or how does that work?
As soon as you start getting the checks, you can worry about it. That's exactly how it works.